on page Chav Gimel, about, let's say, 8 lines on the top of the page, he starts off talking about B'chol Meidach. And essentially he tells us that V'hineh, I'll read a little bit inside, the line that begins with the word Al-Yedei. Kol Ha'avedu V'chinas Ava, now, all of the Avodah we discussed before with the various types of Ava, Hu B'kerches Ha'giloyim Sheben Nefesh, has to do with the revealed faculties of the soul, V'chinas Seichel U'midas Levad, has to do with Seichel U'midas Levad. Now, he's going to start talking about B'chol Meidach. Let's see if we can think about it a little bit philosophically. Although when you think in philosophical terms, you're writhing around in the middle of an infinite expanse, and you're totally, there's no handrail, nothing to hold on to. But let's think about it. You have a neshama. Your neshama has a lot of levels. Okay. Your goof is limited. The number one problem for your neshama, for your goof, I'm sorry, the number one problem for your goof is to get a hold of the neshama. If you appreciate the fact that the neshama is ruchnis and the guf is gashmis, common sense should tell you that there's no shaykhis between neshama and guf. Somehow there's a process by which neshama and guf has a shaykhis. But what would be the first rule? The first rule would be that in order for the guf to get a hold of the neshama has to be holdable. You have to have vos to top it. The Hebrew word for holding, of course, is tefisa. And I've illustrated this many times before, but this lashon is also cited in Chassidus. Just like physically, tefisa has to be at the ktsavos, the bregen. You want to hold something, you hold it at its edges. I can't pick up this table from here, it's impossible. It's not possible, you have to hold it at the ktsavos. So, there are two, Exactly, well the bottom is also a ktsay. There are six ktsays, or three ktsays, depending on how you want to say, three dimensions, six sides. You've got to grab something at its edges. And there's two reasons you wouldn't be able to grab it at its edges. The lower reason is, it has ktsavos, it has borders, but they're too brick for you. And I guess that's how we would call the madreig of chaya. And the second madreig is, it simply does not have ktsavos. It's what we call pshitus, pashad batachas pshitus. You can't get your hands around pshitus, it's impossible. Now, understand that all this avoida stuff, what is the avoida? You want to develop love for Hashem. You want to develop Abba for the Eivishter, yeah? You don't, at this moment, you don't love Hashem. Or at least, at this moment, you don't love Hashem consciously. You want to experience love. You want to bring the Eivishter into you sufficiently to experience love of the Eivishter. So to be sure, in other words, if you'll think about it, you realize the problem is not bringing the Eivishter into you. The Eivishter is already there. You have a neshama? Chelik alakami ma'am mamish, the Eivishter is there. You have a neshama? There's an Ava Atzmis, there's a love to the Eibishter that knows no bounds, already buried inexorably in your person. Nobody has to give you anything. The problem is not getting love, it's getting the love out. It's bringing the love to the surface. It's being Megala the Ava. You love the Eibishter, you want to experience an Ava Begila, that's an Avoida. But, in other words, where are you getting all this from? You're getting it from yourself. When you learn Chassidus, yeah, Chassidus says, where does the Chiddush come from? A new idea in Seichel, whether it's a Chiddush in Nigla, Chiddush in Pimis HaTeira, or even Lahavla, Chiddush in Chachmas Chetenius. You examine the world, and you come up with a new idea, yeah? According to Chiddush, where did that new idea come from? It didn't come from the world, it didn't come from your observation. All the observation gave you was a question, not an answer. The answer came from your nefesh. You have what's called a Kerech HaMaskel. In your Kerech HaMaskel, you have virtually, not exactly, but virtually a bleak bull, an infinite supply of Seichel. If it would be an actual believable seichel, it would be totally inaccessible. So it's what's called virtual is a great word. virtual means sort of, but not mamish, an infinite supply of seichel. And because you have a virtual infinite supply of seichel, you can draw ideas from there. When you come up with a new idea, it came from you. It didn't come from someplace else, and it certainly didn't come from nowhere. You look at the world, yeah, and you see rocks falling out of the sky, and every time the rock falls, it hits the ground. All of a sudden you see a rock falling out of the sky, and instead of hitting the ground, it veers off to the left. You have a question. So you're going to do an examination, right? You're going to try and figure out why this is happening. And you're going to start examining, you can notice that there's wind, and maybe there's strange physical forces that affect. There's a magnetism, there's another gravitational force, whatever the explanations are, until you're going to figure out why this rock didn't drop like every rock does, it went to the left. So you can, the observation is going to create a question in your mind. But and then you can examine it. When you're going to come up with a chiddush, with the answer, the power of that answer didn't come from the question, it came from your neshama. The question just gave you the tools by which you went into your neshama and brought the answer forth.
Once you already have the answer, you can still observe
it. I don't see why not. Of course not. But observe doesn't equal idea either. You're not going to come up with new ideas because you made observations. You're going to come up with new ideas because you don't understand your observations. Questions are the key to answers. One second. Every original idea in Seichel came from a question. The only people who have new ideas in Seichel without questions were Moshe Rabbeinu, because Eibishter gave him the Teda, Rav Shimon bar Yochai, because he was Madrega Pnimis HaTeda. But Nigel the Teda, as a rule, every answer is preceded by a question. Every Chiddush is preceded by an uncertainty. That's how it goes. You don't know when you examine the answer. So the question comes from the Teda. The answer comes from your Moach. But then you discover this is the Pshat in the Teda. I'm sorry, Moshe? You have a neshama. In your neshama, there's a lot of power. And that power manifests in various ways. It manifests in coming up with new ideas. It also manifests in feeling for the Eibishter. Ah, Hashem and Yiras Hashem.
So you don't have any powers from the neshama?
The point is, the power is not coming from outside of you. We're not debating now whether it's neshama kis, neshama hafa. I don't know. But the vart is, it's not the pshat. When you develop love for the Eibishter, you reached into the year and you pulled in some mushrooms, you know? Kveinu patrias. They grow from the avias, from the lechos. It's not like, I'm looking for the Eibishter, I brought ava from here into me. No. Maybe that thing inspired me to have ava. The ava was always there. The ava came from inside. That's the point. That's all I'm saying. But the vart is, how do you get in touch with yourself? How do you bring out your ava to Eibishter? So the rule has to be, you have to have handles. You cannot go into your nefesh if you can't hold it. Your nefesh is vast. Imagine your nefesh is, I'll use an analogy, imagine your nefesh is outer space. It's vast and it's infinite and it's plain and there's no arrows and there's no markers. It's just an expanse that goes and goes and goes and goes and goes ad infinitum. You want to draw from that source, from that Ein Sof, from that infinity. You can only do it if you can grab it. Therefore, the levels of the nefesh that you draw from are always the lower levels. The atmos of the nefesh, the bligvul of the nefesh, the Ein Sof of the nefesh, you can't draw from because you can't hold it. How are you going to bring down the Ein Sof of the nefesh? The Ein Sof of the nefesh is fundamentally inaccessible. And that's why normally we say when you bring down koiches from your neshama into your consciousness, you're bringing down koiches from the madrega that we call chaya, matichida. Naturally, and it's an avoid. But we bring it down from the madrega called Chaya. Why from the madrega called Chaya? Because the Chaya is not really infinite. Chaya is not really infinite. Chaya really has limits. It's infinite only legabe de techas agiluyim. Why do we feel Chaya in our neshama? One of the reasons we don't feel Chaya in our guf is because there's no avid to represent Chaya. Neshama is represented by the seichel. Ruach is represented by the lev. Nefesh represented by the kaved or the kloyes v'kayetz b'zeh. There is no eved, there's no part of the body that's representative of chayah. So chayah becomes matif. Also because chayah is very great, but chayah is not really bligvul. Chayah has ktzavas, what I call before virtual ktzavas, sort of ktzavas. It's not mamish limited, but it's not infinite. It's virtually infinite, and therefore we can draw from chayah. We can draw seichel from chayah, which is called keach maskil. We can draw midas from chayah. I don't know what you would call them, of the midas, which are ne'alamim, because since it has limitations, even though the limitations of Chaya are far greater than the limitations of the Naran, you can reach there.
Okay, so someone asks, what is Yechidah? Or what's Chaya actually? What does that mean? How do you answer?
I don't know who that person is, but my standard one word answer is it's the subconscious of the person. It's your subconscious. Now, your next question should be, what does the word subconscious mean? And that's a long story. It's a big pilpul. And there's a lot of factors. Number one, it's not conscious. I don't know it. Why don't I know it? Because it's infinite. Because it's plain. Because it's too, right, because it hurts too much, for example. It would blow me away, right? But on the other hand, we call it subconscious. Subconscious means to say, the fact that we say that it's less than conscious means it has a shaykhus to consciousness. Because the essence of the person is not the subconscious. The essence of the person is not even subconscious. It's beyond subconscious. The Lashon HaChassidus says, "Ein helem kol kach." You can't even call it helem. Right. Now, understand that Chayah and Yechidah are a simplification. Why? Because in Chayah there's many madregas, a lot more than three. Why do we make it into one big madrega called Chayah? Because since it does not have an Eved in the Guf, we don't have clinical, we don't have technical ways to clearly demark this is one level of Chayah, this is a higher level of Chayah, this is another level of Chayah. You know what I'm saying? The subconscious is the vastest realm of the person. The essence is essence. Fatik, Ein Sof. But the highest levels, we call it one level because we don't have ways that we can give criteria. That means answers and explanations that have borders that are not fluid, that don't change every time I talk about it, to separate one madrega from Chayah from the next. But the klal is Chayah is higher than my consciousness, and Chayah is not Ein Sof. It's not essence. It's everything in between. And in our Maimir, how are you accessing Chayah? Through His bondness. You're studying the Eibishter. You're understanding Hashem Yisbarach with your Moyach. And perhaps a part of the study is taket to reach into the Chayah and to come up with Chedushim about understanding the Eibishter. And as I told you last week, the understanding of the Eibishter that we're talking about is Ki Hu Chayecha. Right, to see the Eibishter. If you remember last week, one of the Shurim I gave you was that there's the Yisbarach of Mamalek Olam and the Yisbarach of Seviv Kalam, and that would be what does Banas Malik Laman? I look at the world and I see the Eibishter. I see the Kayach of the Eibishter. Am I seeing Atmos? Do I know what Atmos is? I'm not interested in Atmos. I'm interested in Kiyur Chayach. The Eibishter gives me life. And I love Hashem because of what the Eibishter is doing for me. So the point is, you're using your Izbananus to develop Ahava. Why does the Izbananus develop Ahava? Why? Because the Izbananus is limited. The Madrega of Chaya is limited. It's obviously Chaya is different kind of limitations. It's higher. If it would be limited like I'm limited, it wouldn't be subconscious, it would be conscious. But still it has Medidas of Akbalas. And through this bonus, I could sort of reach into Chaya and bring down a Midas Ahava.
Ahava is a fire?
The Ahava is in Ruach. But you're bringing the Chaya down, you're bringing the Ahava down from someplace. You have to be Megala, the Midah, in the Leif. Ahava is a different story. And this is in the Rishimis of the Rebbe, in one place the Rebbe writes five different pshatim in Avos Teres. It makes a Rishim of different places of Chassidus. It's very interesting. It's in the later Parakim of Tanya. Maybe it's Perik Mandalagar. It's in the Rishimis. Five different Madrigas of Chaya. It's not from the Rishimis, it's from someplace else. Could be it's in Shurim Sefer HaTanya. Five different term translations of the word Avos Teres. And it's not five different levels, it's just different worlds. It's, the word Avos Teres is used in so many different ways that you have to always define which Madreg Vav Masel you're talking about. Go ahead.
I didn't understand how Chaya brought down Seichel
Amidus. Chaya doesn't draw down Seichel Amidus. You draw down Seichel Amidus. From your Chaya. From your Chaya.
Because
Chaya is not an Eved? No. Chaya does not have an Eved in which to manifest. If there was a limb in your body where Chaya came down into your person, Chaya would not be subconscious, it would be conscious. It would also mean that Chaya is limited. It would also mean that Chaya has a specific place. You can use your Chaya in your hands, you can use your Chaya in your feet, you can use your Chaya in your mouth. You can't use your Seichel in your feet. Why not? Because Seichel has a specific organ that it represents. The Mayach. It's higher than the gvul of the conscious person, but it's not truly infinite. The only madrega is truly infinite is Yechido. Okay? Now, here comes the point. We're now to embark on a discussion about Ava V'chol Ma'idecha. Ava V'chol Ma'idecha is Yechido. Or alternatively, Ava V'chol Ma'idecha is trying to tap into the infinity. Now, what's the problem with trying to tap into something which is truly infinite? What's wrong with trapping it? First of all, you can't get your hands around it. How are you supposed to hold something that doesn't have any limitations? And there are two aspects to the infinity of Yechidah. The first aspect is it's too vast, you can't get your hands around it. And the second aspect is it's too plain. It's pashut b'tachlas apshitas. And because, I'm sorry, I know Kavanoska to you, but I can't teach like this. You can, because the Yechida is infinite, it has to be plain. The two have to be connected. Something infinite cannot be formed. You can argue about it all day long. The bottom line is, no one's ever going to make an infinite pile of apples, or an infinite number of miles, or an infinite number of candles to possible. It has to be plain. Because infinity is a qualitative thing, it's not a quantitative thing. Infinity is not more, it's a different level. So if it's infinite, it's also automatically plain. How are you going to grab something which is infinite and plain? It's inaccessible. So yechida, therefore, in truth, should not be able to be reached by a person. So when you reach, you read the Maimer, the conclusion that what the Maimer teaches you is like this. You're right, you can't reach yechida. Except like this. You can only reach the yechida backwards. Not such backwards. If you're going to get the yechida, it'll always evade you. If you're trying to get the yechida, you're going to run away from you. What I mean in practical terms, if you are trying to come to the Eibishter proactively, yeah, you are trying to connect to Hashem. If you are trying to connect to Hashem, there's no way you're going to get to the Yechidah. Why? You're limited, your mind is limited, your medias are limited, the Eibishter is infinite and plain. The minute you are trying to reach him, you're limited. Or in other words, you know, there's an expression that Chassidim use when they talk about his kashas and shlichas. They say, a young man goes on shlichas, he says, the Rebbe is matzliach in the shlichas. You hope that the shliach shouldn't interfere. Any effort to reach the yechida is the obstruction to the yechida. The moment you're trying to reach yechida, you just push the yechida away. Your brain, the moment you're using your brain to get to the yechida is unavailable because your brain is limited. Your heart, the minute you're using your heart to get to the yechida, there's no way you're going to reach the yechida. This is called Rabbi Yisrael Chassidus Ad Yasher. Ad Yasher means where you are trying to get to the subconscious of your neshama through the regular processes. And the classic regular process, from an avodah point of view, is what we call his bananas. You're going to be mizbeinin in alakus to try to get a deeper understanding of the Eibishter and reach, where you're reaching. You're not reaching in today, you're reaching into here, into your own nefesh, to draw forth deeper koichas. You can do that. But since you're reaching, your hands are limited. Maybe your hands are very big, but they're still limited. You can only reach so far. Yechida, by definition, the minute you're using your hands, the yechida is not available. So the Rebbe tells you, there is a way to reach yechida, but it's only by not trying, in effect. The moment you try to reach the yechida is pushed away. Or in other words, classically, his bananas will never get to yechida shebenefesh. His bananas, the yechida are contradiction. Why? Because his bananas means you're defining what you're trying to get to. Yechida means it can't be defined. Now, in Ayin Pei's Gerade, he talks about his bananas. His bonus, not like I have over here, his bonus of mina meter, his bonus of I don't have. But his bonus of chiyuv, which reaches yechida. But this is not Ayin Beis, this is Ranat, this is two different worlds of chassidus, this is, you know, it's two different shittas really in Kabbalah. And Tzadachi and Gadol, I'm not resolving this question. I should really show you inside where it's written so you can see the problem. It's a big, big problem. Because in classic chassidus, in other words, before the Ayin Beis, before you get to this new shita, the moment you are being proactive, the moment you're trying to reach yechida is, by that act alone, not going to be available. You're using your hands, yechida is not accessible. So how do you get yechida? Backwards. Min arichot, min ameitza. When a person feels tsa'ar for not having. And it's not what he wants. It's what he doesn't have. The criteria is this. Where's my page? The criteria of reaching the yechida is not trying to reach it. That's the only way it's possible. So how does it work from a practical point of view? So he says, when a yid, instead of thinking about what he wants in as much as the Eibishter is concerned, because the moment a yid is thinking what he wants in as much as the Eibishter is concerned, yechida is not possible. Chai is possible. Instead, the yid is thinking what he doesn't have. And the tsar of not having, the min ha-meitzer, the pain of not having, it's the only way it's possible to reach the yechida, and you reach it not by looking for it, but by being pained for not having it. Now, why does that work? What's the logic to that? So there's a lot of pratim that I have to clarify in order to, so to speak, help you appreciate that dafke min ha-meitzer, when a person is not focusing on what I have and how much I want to get more, but what I don't have, does he reach yechida? So let me approach this systematically. Point number one. There's a gewaldige klal in chassidus. Huh? And you cannot reach a chida by reaching for him with your hands. Because every time you reach for him, you push them away. That's what Eri Yashar means. You're being proactive. You're trying to get him using your mind, your heart. Only your chayza. And your chayza doesn't focus on the Eivishter. It focuses on the lack of the Eivishter. So you're not trying to reach him. You're just pained in not having him. There's a class. I wrote down here 3 points. Number one, there's a very gevaldik klal in Chassidus. What's so gevaldik about this particular klal is, it's so true to life. The klal is, lav koidim lehem. I told it to you in the past, I'm sure if you know it from that. Lav koidim lehem. Which means no is stronger than yes. It's a fact of life and it's undeniable. That if two people are running with all the koiches that they have, one is running away from a sakana, and the other is running because he knows that the other side of the mountain is $100 million worth of diamonds. And if he gets there first, it's his. And these two people are running with all the koiches that they can muster, with the koiches ne'alamim that they call today adrenaline and so on. One is running from a negative energy, the other is running towards a positive force. Says Chassidus as an axiom, as a law of reality, the one running from danger is running harder.
Wait,
have a little patience. Just wait, a few minutes, if you don't mind. The one who is running from the danger will always run harder than the one running to the positive. Why? There's a rule in the psychology of people. And the shadish of this rule is what the Gemara says, first there's blackness and then there's light. And the rule is that the way the Eibush set up his world, a negative energy is stronger than a positive energy. I didn't say it's better, it's stronger. When you're running away from danger, the danger brings out of you a koyach that nothing good in the world can inspire you like that. It's just human nature. And like I said, the shadish of it is the tzimtzum edition of the four kaf. Cheshach kam the four reil. Let him shabash shaf in the world. It's a Gemara. Bereisha chashoicha, in the beginning there's black. I think it's a Gemara Pesachim. Is it in Pesachim? No, it's not in Pesachim. It's a Shabbos. I'm talking so much. Bereisha chashoicha, first there is blackness, vahada nahoida, and then there is light. And as a result of that rule, there's an axe in reality, no is stronger than less. Think any example you want. You'll see how true this is. Negative energies are stronger than positive. I'll give you a political example. Give me an example. Huh?
The people that are being more successful are the people that are pro-Mashiach.
But the reason the people who are pro-Mashiach are more successful is because they have someone to fight with. If everybody agrees, automatically some of that energy is lost. Okay, do me a favor. That's a very sensitive topic. I don't know if you understand, but I like not to go there. I'll give you an example, Pashat, in politics. There is what they call the politics of hate, kas, anger, and it works like a charm. You want to rally people up, find a common enemy. If you know anything about the history of the Jewish people, you know, especially in Russia and other places, there was a book written about 120 years ago called the Wisdom of the Elders of Zion. It's one of the most vicious anti-Semitic books ever written, and it was commissioned by the Russian king, the Tsar, Machmed, Nicholas II. Why? Whenever the Russian government was having political upheavals, the economy was doing bad, people were starving, people didn't have work, so the government would orchestrate anti-Semitism. And every time it worked. The pogroms in Tafresh Samachay, the pogroms in Vimzach Tafresh Memal, in the 1880s, 1881, when Jews ran to America in the hundreds and thousands. Whenever the Russian government wanted to distract people from their own failure, they orchestrated anti-Semitic upheavals. Jews were murdered in many cities, there's pictures. And it was orchestrated by the government. Why? Because when you created an enemy, they forgot all their considerations. The fact that they were still hungry, they didn't get their job back, was mehecha teisa. It didn't matter. What mattered is we have somebody to hate. It works like a charm. Some governments are more cruel than others. All these movements, the Farrakhan movement, or whatever it is, all of these movements, you see it right now. The politics of war is to create an enemy. How do you unify a nation? America's a nation, such a disparate people, with all kinds of different types. You create an enemy that everybody shares, and all of a sudden you're friends. I don't like you. We together hate him, so we're friends. It's a very powerful truth. One of the most dangerous, most sinister historical manipulations is this. Because no has an unbelievable power. Negative power is very strong. And the yisod for this is when the Eibishter created the world, first comes darkness, then comes light. No is stronger than yes. It's not no is before yes, it's stronger than yes.
So how does the light cover up on the darkness?
It says, Goylu el mebnei choshech, v'choshech ne'el, Eibishter took the choshech away. Okay, in kind of mokum. You're asking a very good question. Not now. If you want, I'll give you a mokum to look it up later, on your own. All the yibokum, it has to be a bakir, it's a ganser meiser, it's a nigol, pnimi es hakaz, nishkin poshtin gishech. And as a result, if you are proactively looking for the Eibishter, if you're trying to find light, you're not going to reach a chidah. But if you're trying to go away from darkness, this cloud of love, kaidim lahein, no being stronger than yes, is going to make you reach the chidah. Simply because it's a negative power, it's a negative force, the negative force helps you reach the chidah. That's point number one. Now, if that's not sufficient to you, hang on, there's two more points. Point number two. Okay, nicht jetzt. Point was gerecht an anders zu ging jetzt. Point number two. To that cloud, I'm the fregna Shabbos Chochem. Shabbos Chochem is a chassid chuv. Das hat ganz nicht von der Herz. A Shabbos Chochem is a chassid chuv. Das hat ganz nicht von der Herz. Tanya Perek Zayin. The Alter Rebbe talks about chuv. Me Ahav. And he says, that when a person does an aveda,
yeah.
So if it's a klipas negedik aveda, he ate kosher food l'shem taiva, he drank kosher wine l'shem taiva. So the lashon Tanya Perek Zayin is yated lefishah, but I gomer shoshal shkibus meis nagami. It descends temporarily into the I gomer shoshal shkibus meis nagami, which means to say that later you'll serve the Eibishter l'shem shamayim, so you bring an aliyah into the food. But kosher wine, but for a taiva, for yourself, so it falls into klipa. But it can be relatively easily corrected. Like the lashon is, it's mutter. Any kosher v'asav deach ten lemon. But if a person ate, because you have to do everything l'shem shamayim. If you don't do it l'shem shamayim, it's klipa. It's halam v'as nalukus, even though it's mutter. If you l'shem taiva, of course. Now, if you ate dvar isir, so the large asav is kosher v'asav deach ten lemon. You ate teifa food, achmon l'tzlan, Tanya Perek Chasi says, you thought it was kosher. And you ate it l'shem shamayim. If it's teifa food, it's a hell of a mess of elikus, and there's nothing you can do about it. So Alter Rebbe says, v'l'yachar l'alas misham, ades keitz, sh'yivu l'hamov as l'netzach. A person did an aveda, and brought into his system, shalosh klipas at meyas l'gami, it's never going to go away. Till the end of time, that the Eibishter is going to take away mov as l'netzach, then the Eibishter removes klipas. Oi, one second, oi. Acha yaset shuva gedele kakach, acha asdenis nasat lekezachis. The only is another way. You don't have to wait till priyas amesim, till the Eibishter kills the Eitz Hara, destroys klipa. To rid yourself of an aveda which brings into your system shalosh klipas meis lagamri. The second Eitz is you should do shuva gedele kakach, acha asdenis nasat lekezachis. Avedas become mitzvahs. So the Alter Rebbe says when a person does a shuva gedele kakach, it's called shuva mehav, acha asdenis nasat lekezachis. The Aveda becomes a mitzvah. Fact after that, I don't understand. Okay, you did an Aveda. Now you're doing a tshuva me'ahava. So the Aveda should go away. Why should the Aveda become a mitzvah? And I'll tell him some of the most important words in the Tanya. And he says, Hoye val yedei zeh hu bo lidei ahavazu. In other words, the ahava of a bal tshuva is stronger than the ava that a tzaddik could ever possibly have. Like the Gemara says in two Lashenas, Bemokam Shatzadikim Gemurim Beshubal Tshuva Aimdim Ein Tzaddikim Gemurim Aimdim, or Bemokam Shubal Tshuva Aimdim Ein Tzaddikim Gemurim Yechilim Lamecha. Why? Because a tzaddik has a positive drive, and a Baal Tshuva has a negative drive, and a negative drive will always be stronger than the positive drive. The Lashon HaGemara is, but I told you, right? And the Zayir adds at Siba. It's mentioned in the Yom Tshuva Pedic Zion at the end. Because the Mashkin Le Bechel Yatid. About Tshuva is Mashkin Le. He's drawing from the Lakus Bechel Yatid with extra power, extra impetus. Why? Because it's a negative energy, not a positive energy. About Tshuva is not running to the Eibishter. He's running away from evil. And then again, getting back to the point. What's the Pshat? Through the Aved, you come to the Tshuva. So I'll give you a Pshat Gash Mizdik Gamashal. I'll give you several Gash Mizdik Gamashal. If you want to run forward, yeah? So any physicist could be able to explain to you how fast you'll be able to run forward. It has to do, of course, with your physical strength. It has to do with your girth, with your size. Yeah, Yeshiva Bacham's figures are not designed for speed. Maybe they're designed for agility or for something else, but not for speed. And then the laws of physics, the forces of gravity, the size of your body, aerodynamics. You know, the physicists who've proven the fastest speed that people will ever be able to run. As long as they're people, in other words, without breaking any bones, they won't be able to move faster than that speed. And the greatest marathon runners in the world are so many and so many seconds away from the maximum speed that people could theoretically run, because it's physical laws that govern how fast a person could run, even in possibility, even in kayak. Yeah? That's when a person is running. Yeah? What happens if a person is running? Kishma, please, it's a day rice. Stand up, put your hat in jacket and say Kishma. Okay, but it's already 8:59. You said Kishma?
Yes.
Okay. It's getting to the Shlach. What happens if you're running? If you're running and somebody holds you, someone prevents you from running. So what happens? There are two forces working against each other. You're trying to run with all your koyach. That person is holding you back. So poshet begashmis, the negative force that's holding you back. When you finally succeed in ripping the chain, of tearing yourself free, your force forward is not limited to your own strength and to any of the physical laws that govern direct forward motion. It is limited by your strength and your forward motion compounded by the negative energy. You run faster because you're being held back. And the energy that holds you back literally affects the propulsion, the going forward. If you've ever seen how they do how the planes, I think they do it on the aircraft carrier. They don't have a lot of space. They literally hold these planes by a chain. And they let these chains rev their engines and they let go. And they rocket off the runway. It's the same concept. But the point is, it's not just the force of the plane, it's the force of the train compounded by the resistance, the negative energy. The negative energy makes the positive energy strong. When you have an aveda in your system, it holds you back. If you're a sensitive person, if you're aveda lakim, you feel it. If you're grub yung, you have no trouble. But if you're a sensitive person, you mamish feel that the yesterday's aveda, or last week's aveda, or even last year's aveda, which is God edel, poshet prevents you from serving the Eishtah. And it bothers you. And you're trying to rid yourself of the resistance that negative force brings into your system. So you're fighting. So what's happening? You're running forward. But your running forward is being held back by a negative force. When you finally succeed in tearing yourself away from that negative force, you go forward in a way that you would never go forward if it weren't for the Aveda. Only the Aveda, Bala the Avazu, brings this level of intensity. You cannot love so much in what's called Eir Yashar, by trying to reach the Eivishter. You can only love so much by trying to run away from things that are stopping you from reaching the Eivishter. It has to be negative. Right. What's the shot? You're not trying to get to the Eivishter. You're trying to get away from Alan Behested. So you're not defining what you're trying to get to. That's what they had. When you're running to Hashem, if you're running to Hashem with your hands out, you just push the Yechidah away. But here you're not running to the Eibishter, you're running away from Ra. And of course you also know the other aspect of this, that Klipa has a higher Shedesh than Kedusha. So when you're Mavada the Klipa, Vera Tvus Bekeach Shed, when you're Mavada the Klipa adds to your Koyach of running towards the Eibishter.
But
is
a Tzadik never reach Yechidah?
But Pashtus, the answer is no, except Rashbi. There's a pasuk which says by Rashbi, did he reach Yechidah to take through Eir Yashar? But Rashbi is Rashbi. I mean, that's not yet. Even the biggest tzaddikim are not Rashbi. There's a pasuk, it's in Maimonim, in the book of Maimonim on Lag BaOmer. If you remind me after class, I'll advise. That Rashbi, it says in Samachlov also, Rashbi reached Yechidah derech Eir Yashar, but that's a very unusual madrig. In other words, Rashbi reached Yechidah through his bondness. That's a god another that has. It's Rashbi. But Stamale, it's impossible. And again, the third, so I set Yusuf at 2 points. Number one, Lav Kedem Lehe, no stronger than yes. Number two, which says Naya Pedig Zayin, Heil Vaidezeh Bala Avazu. And number three is the idea of Min Arichuk, Min Ametzah. It's really the same thing, it's just in other words. What's the Pshat in Arichuk? I really said it. Because of the way the Eivish has set up his world, not having creates a greater thirst than can ever be possibly mustered by having. And therefore, the not having brings out these deeper koiches. It's basically the same thing. So the Rebbe says here in the Maimer, but the reason it's different is that here I'm talking about Chuvais. The Rebbe says in the Maimer, there's such a thing as Ava B'chol Meidech. Ava B'chol Meidech means to love Hashem literally in an infinite way. And if you were by the first shiur I gave you last week, the two shiurs last week, the first one, where I spoke to you about the three Avas, B'chol Lavav, B'chol Avas, B'chol Meidech, you recall that I explained to you that the symptom of the Ava B'chol Meidech is midas ha'ishtavas, b'chol midu midas ha'bemeded lach, ha'bemeded lach, b'meed me'ed, there's no difference between ha'tev ha'meitiv and dayanemis, like love is love, there's no difference, good and bad, all equal. The love of yechida, Hashem punishes you, it's like he loved you. No difference at all. Like shivisi Hashem, like some of the first shivisi, ha'tev ha'na shava by David HaKalach. Or, b'chol mamoyincha, that a person of a deg of the yechida, his gashmis is holy. He's worried about his adam chasam amene. Goes on to the chachamim. If you're an olam yechida, not only are you holy, and your guf is holy, everything you touch becomes holy. And you worry about it getting into the hands of chitzeni because on the level of yechida, there's no alam, there's no hagbalas, no medidas of hagbalas. A rabbi touches a dollar, it's a helik a dollar. He puts himself into his gashmis. There's no medidas of hagbalas. Oh, that right. Those are a few of the things that I mentioned to in the lashim. So the rabbi, on page chav dalet, on page Chav Gimel, starts talking about how you reach Yechida. He says you want a Kudah. Yechida is only reached not by trying. Yechida is reached by pain, by not having. By pain, by not having. And Eretz Fananded, I mean, you could learn these two pages, it's very beautiful, Avoida, but the underlying point is when you feel how the goof is a Malam Master, and the goof is a hell of a, you're trying to break out of the Alam is Vestatum of the goof, it's the only way you can reach Yechida. And on page Chav Hei, he mentions, if you want to connect to the Eibishter, the word tefillah is lashnis kashas, tefak lecheres, it's through kevid reish. Kevid reish means the pain of not having, the pain of distance, and dafka, the pain of distance, gets you in touch with the yechida. And again, to go back to how I started this whole philosophy, the yesod of it is, you're not trying to reach yechida. The moment you're trying to reach yechida, yechida isn't available. It's elusive. You're trying to break out of a ma'alom master. And then on the very bottom, of page Chav Hei and at the top of page Chav Vav, the Rebbe starts talking about Tkiyah Shefer, and Tkiyah Shefer is the same thing. What's the essence of Tkiyah Shefer? Min Ametza. The power of Tkiyah Shefer comes from the fact that it's Tzor Melfona, that the Shefer is narrow. Yeah, if the Shefer would be wide, it wouldn't be a Shefer. What makes it a Shefer is the pain of not having. Chabachamol Detzel, Faran, I'm sure I told you more than once, it's a Dayemim Chelik Sheni. There's two mashalim in Chassidus for Tekiyah Shefer, one for the Baal Shem Tov, one for the Baal Shem Tov, they're both Makut HaSichas Grade. What's the mashal of Baal Shem Tov? It's a long story, but the Nakuda is that there's a kid, a son of a king, who goes away from his father and he wastes his money and he uses up all of his resources, and he goes so far away that he becomes a peasant, a prostat. He's so far immersed in this prostat that he forgets that he's a Ben Melech, he forgets the Safa, he forgets the language that's spoken in the palace, and he becomes mamash a prostak. Years and years and years and years later, the king visits the region where the son is wallowing. The son is stuck. And when they tell that the king is coming, the son says, you know, I'm the king's son. So all the peasants around him say, oh, he's chabashuminir. So you're one of us. You're a low life like the rest of us. What do you have a shakas with the melon? He says, no, I'm telling you, I'm the king's son. So they know that this guy is going to try and go to the king, so they put up a barricade. They surround him with big jlubas. He shouldn't be able to reach the king because he'd embarrass all these behemoths by telling the king he's his son. So the king rides by in the wagon, and the son can't get to his father, don't let him. So he starts to scream, Abba, Abba, father. But he doesn't know the language of the king, he forgot it. So he screams, Abba, Abba, he screams, father, father, in the language that he speaks. And the father recognizes the tone of the voice, and he turns, and he says, yeah, this is Taka, my son, he's Makarim. This is a mashal from Baal Shem Tov Tekiyahs. So the Rebbe Marash came out once before Rosh Hashanah. It was Nistam Chav Zayin, because Lamed Zayin, because in the Vekocha, the Hemshah Vekocha, the Rebbe Marash, he speaks about all the Yomim Tevim, The whole Vekocha is about the Yom Tevim. It starts with Vekocha, starts with Pesach. Vekocha Techo, Esam, Asnechach, Hagudim. But it goes to all the Yom Tevim. And he brings over there the Moshe from Moshe from the Bedichever. So Mestame was Bekesha to that, either Lamed Zayin or Lamed Ches. So the Rebbe Ma'ash came out of his room and he said that in the Marshal of Moshe from Tchiyah Shefer is Nitnegeya Zey Field, the Abba Abba. That says Negeya De Gishrei. The Rebbe Ma'ash said that the analog in the Marshal of the Baal Shem Tov for Tchiyah, the priority is not the cry of Father. It's the cry itself. So the story finishes, he came right. Yenem Rosh Hashanah is going to go Rosh Turim Tiki. Chassidim, this was before Rosh Hashanah. The way Chassidim Davin Rosh Hashanah was the Gavaldi Gishturim. Because of this word in the Marash, as the Ikev in Rosh Hashanah is the Gishrei. What does it mean? Abba Abba is still a connection. Even though it's the most elementary connection. A father and a son, I don't understand you, I don't feel you, I don't know you, but you're my father. A Gishrei, a cry, it has nothing to do with connection, it has to do with not having. And because the cry has to do with not having, it reaches the deepest level. It reaches Dafka Teri Yechida. And that's the whole idea of Tzkiyas, Min HaMeitzah. And the Rebbe articulates, he says, the sound of the shofar is a cry, Min HaRichuch, it's a cry from distance, but it's at least an audible cry. It's a cry that's at least heard because there's some Achiz and Metzias. Then comes Shvarim Truah, the Bemis is in his Halacha, Shvarim Truah is also audible. But by Pnimis and Yalim, the Gemara calls it Genuchi Genuyach and Yelula Yalu. It says Yomerin, and I don't know, there's different Yiddish words for this, to be hysterical, sobbing to the point where there's no sound. Says the Rebbe, this is an even deeper cry where there's no sound. Shvarim and Truah. Shvarim and Truah is the cry is so deep that you can't even enunciate. You can't even enunciate in a noise. It comes out in a broken noise or in, you know, gasp, the person can catch his breath. And the second, you have to stop it. And then you have the second kia. The second kia is Va'adne Lekim Bashefi Yitok. This is a right kia Mumayla Lamata. You cry and the Abishah cries back. You cry from not having it and the Abishah cries back. But the Vart is the access to the Yechidah Sheb Nefesh, Bukhav, Bukhom Meitcha, is indirect. Which leads us to one conclusion. I'm going to finish with this point. This is an observation, it's a question, not an answer. L'chaedah, it should come out like this. In normal Av, which is through his bonus, what I called in the beginning of the Shir, Ar Yashar, there's two parts. There's Ratzu and there's Shur. You want the Eivishter and you bring him into yourself. Is there an equivalent of Shur in Yechidah? That's my question. You bring in these up. The whole idea of Yechidah is I'm running to the Eivishter. And now I'm running to the Eivishter. I'm not even running to him, I'm running away from evil. Can there be a place for Shuv in Yechidah? The Rashbi, yeah, what I said to you before, by the Rashbi, I'm bringing Eretz B'Kelim to bring into your Guf Yechidah B'Nefesh. Chol Meidach is Rotz, Ave B'Chalot Rotz, Ave Lashon Ave Rotz. But to bring down into your person, into your Guf Yechidah, and experience the Yechidah, is there such a thing? Or is the only way the Yechidah can be experienced is by running away from yourself? And to be sure, B'Pashtus, the answer is no. Huh? Kalesa Nefesh is going out of yourself. Right. But there could be Kalesa Nefesh M'Chaya also. If you learn the mind and pay attention to the words, the Kalesa Nefesh M'Chaya is where the Hamshacha, you feel what you're running to. The Kalesa Nefesh Yechida, I think I mentioned it in the last year. The difference in Chaya and Yechida is that in Chaya, the spark is running to the torch. In Yechida, the torch is drawing the spark in. It's without a Hamshacha. Huh? I mentioned it to you, yeah? Can there be a Shuv in Yechida? Okay, we'll continue, Mr. Chairman.